I'm sat in my van planning out my next challenge. This week's going to be 1 week eating a World War II diet. So slightly different from the other challenges I've done previously, but something I've wanted to do for quite some time. I'm going to go through, I've done a bit of research, I hope I do this some justice, and I've made a meal plan sticking to the types of food which was available and quantities. So I know I'm going to be hungry this week, but so were millions of people during World War II. It'll be a real eye-opener and something I think I'm going to learn a lot from, and hopefully other people are going to get some kind of takeaway from. I'm going to intersperse it with some facts as well. I thought that'd be a nice touch this challenge week. I really hope I do this one some justice. This one's the one I've wanted to do for a while, but I have been a bit concerned. I'm a bit worried. I want to do it with respect, and I really want to do it as a nod to what people went through back in the 1940s and the rationing era. So instead of going to the shops to start this challenge, I'm going to source the ingredients. I'm going to lay some out on the table. We're going to go through the types of food which was eating. I just forgot to mention, I'm also going to include vegetables grown in our allotment, which is another series on this channel, as a nod to the Dig for Victory campaign, which we'll discuss in this video as well. I hope you enjoy this one. Right, so I'm just going through and sorting out the various ingredients for this week on the World War II ration meals. Now, some of this stuff it was rationed and some of this stuff was available, often restricted or grown at home. But we can go through that more as we're cooking the individual meals. What we do is, I think, first of all, is we discuss the meat, fish and protein section. One small slice of bacon, streaky bacon or cooking bacon, and then 100 grams of beef mince or minced beef. One small fish fillet. I went for cod. During the winter, it was cod, haddock, whiting, and then in the summer, mackerel or tinned sardines. Two small pork sausages and 100 gram piece of belly pork. So this 100-125 grams of roasting meat could have been beef or lamb, but if it wasn't available, then they would use substitutes such as pork, and it would be like a regional thing. Two eggs. If eggs weren't available, now I live in the New Forest in a rural place, so eggs would have been a bit more available, but in cities and when the availability was low for eggs, you would get powdered eggs. 75 grams of corned beef from a tin, and then we've got 100 grams of hard cheese, which is cheddar. The only thing off of the meat, fish and protein I haven't been able to get so far is liver, either lamb or beef liver, 100 grams of that. But I went to Asda's and Aldi's and Lidl's and I couldn't get any liver. So I'm going to have to try again during the week for that. Next, we'll go for the fresh vegetables, and we'll start with, and a lot of these vegetables would be grown as part of the Dig for Victory. We'll discuss that later on as well. We'll go into a bit more depth, but it was encouraged to grow your own vegetables to help with the war effort. Some of these are actually from my allotment and garden. I'll share that with you later on in the video as well. But let's just go through the actual items we've got this week. We have 6 carrots, 1 apple, 6 potatoes. These were grown in my allotment. 1 small head of cabbage, again grown in the allotment. 5 onions from the allotment. 1 raw beetroot. 1 small head of spring greens, 1 stalk of rhubarb, 1 turnip. Couldn't find turnips in any shop, and then my dad said he was growing some down the allotment, so I managed to ninja one of his turnips, so that's helpful. Could have opted for parsnip, that was a substitute used when there was no availability for the turnips. We've got 100 grams of sultanas. I missed out 1 swede, got 1 swede there. Let's look at bakery and grains. So we have 200 grams of porridge oats, 100 grams of dried lentils, 1 small loaf of wholemeal bread. Wholemeal flour would have been used to bake bread had I not picked one up for convenience this week. I've got a lot to share with you. I don't want this video to be 3 hours long. So we've got opted for 1 small loaf, which you'd get from a baker's. Skimmed milk powder, So when milk wasn't available, the alternatives, we would use milk powder, plain yogurt, which is a substitute for cream, 100 grams of margarine. Margarine was more widely available. One small jar of jam. This would have been the allowance of jam for a month for one person. 50 to 75 grams of sugar. Tea, so as opposed to loose leaf tea, we've just got tea bags. The reduced allowance for coffee if you could get hold of it, but we're going to stick with tea this week. Two sheets of pastry. Other items which we will add in and go through during the week, but condiments wise, you've got English mustard, salt and white ground white pepper, honey. Other items included baking powder, baking soda, vinegar and stock or stock cubes. And then finally, dripping or lard. This is some animal fat which I've saved and collected, which we'll be using during the week. There may be a few other items. Again, this isn't a limited budget challenge using a specific budget. We're just looking at the types of ingredients used during World War II, during the ration era. I can go in and discuss it in more detail as we go through the week. I'm going to give you some facts and details as well, some interesting things about certain items which we're using. But that's enough waffling on. I'll see you for breakfast on day one. So during World War II, during the rationing era, they put a big emphasis on the Dig for Victory campaign. A lot of vegetables were encouraged to be grown at home. I'll give you some more details of that when we get back. But one of the main things that they used to grow were at home were potatoes, onions, kale, cabbages, like these ones here, Swedes, turnips. It was a big campaign to kind of be more self-sufficient and to help with aid in the fact that there was so much rationing going on. So we will be using this in this week's World War II rations. Potatoes were one of the predominant vegetables grown during the Dig for Victory campaign. So we're going to dig up some potatoes. They will be used in this week's cooking. I've grown my own onions anyway, and I've been drying them out in the shed. Great start to the challenge. My audio didn't record for the first meal. Not ideal. So I'm just going to go over. I've got one tea bag. I've used one small teaspoon of sugar. I'm saving the tea bag for another use later on in the day, just to stretch it out, because that was a good way of spreading limited ingredients and making them last longer. I've made a pint of milk. So the average adult male in Britain between 1940s and 1945 would be allocated 3 pints of milk per week, but that didn't include just fresh milk. That was also the powdered milk. So to make this pint of milk, I've put 4.5 heaped tablespoons of powder to water, and I'm going to keep this cool. I put a splash in with my tea. So that pint's going to last us a good few days. I've used one egg and I boiled it. I'm just using that little jam jar to hold it up, because we don't eat a lot of boiled eggs in this house. It's mostly fried or scrambled. So that's going to be my improvised boiled egg holder. I've got one slice of toast with a little bit of margarine on it. And that's going to be breakfast. Being the novice I am, I've slightly overdone the egg, but still good enough for breakfast. That'll keep me going till Sunday lunch. Right, for our Sunday dinner, we've got boiled potatoes. There's two potatoes there. We've got one bit of pork belly instead of a roasting meat. And then we've got a handful of spring greens, which are going to fry in the fat from the pork chop. First things first, though, we're going to peel those potatoes and save the peeling, because that'll be used to make stock or to add to a soup. And then we'll chop up the spring greens. The pork belly is going to be fried in a little bit of fat, and then the fat's going to get rendered and re-added to this. The pork belly was used quite often because it produces a lot of fat. Just going to quarter the potatoes. They're going to be boiled in a bit of salted water. Right, so we're going to add a little bit of fat from our rendered fat jar. And then we're just going to chop the spring greens. So these could be boiled, but we're in fact going to fry them in the grease, in the fat left over after cooking the pork belly for a few minutes. Like a lot of spring greens, but that will wilt down quite quickly. I've got my salt and pepper ready for the pork. Just going to salt the pork. Now that the pork belly is nearly cooked all the way through, I'm going to add in the spring greens. So Sunday lunch is boiled potatoes, spring greens, and pork belly. Pork belly is a great source of fat, and I'm actually a big fan of pork belly. A little bit of white pepper. Some of the spring greens with the boiled potato. Because we had a Sunday lunch midday, about one-ish, we're just having a piece of toast with some beef dripping, with some bacon fat. Tried to get a bit of the jelly out of the jar as well on toast. Slight throwbacks to my ChatGPT challenge where I was having lard on toast. But this bacon fat's going to be a lot tastier than just plain old lard. Much prefer that. Salty, meaty flavour. But that's us done for day one. That's it for the food for the day. I'll see you in the morning for breakfast, which I believe is going to be porridge on day two. So I'm just sorting out breakfast for Monday, day two. And we've got 40 grams of rolled oats in water. And then just before serving, it says to add a splash of milk. It's a good way of making milky porridge. I didn't really consider that. So to save on milk, you can just use the water and add a tiny bit of milk at the end and 1 teaspoon of sugar. And at the same time as having breakfast, just going to make up lunch for work, which is going to be 2 pieces of bread. And then we're going to use 20 to 25 grams of cheese. Now, I was going to show you this. I actually weighed this out, but look how thin the cheese is. I'm not being funny, but this greedy guy here would normally have 25 grams per slice. Honestly, this is the equivalent of 1 slice of my cheese. So that's something for me to consider in future, how much cheese I'm consuming. We're not using margarine or butter, and we're just going to have a thin spread of mustard. And to go with our sandwich, we're going to have an apple. But that'll be lunch later on in the van. I'm going to get on a breakfast and get myself to work. I've just pulled over for my lunch, and I am absolutely starving. I think this week's going to be a bit of an eye-opener for me, because that porridge, only 40 grams of porridge. I was hungry well before lunch. I've just held out so that I can kind of hit it around midday. Going to eat this, and then I really am looking forward to getting home and having something for dinner. Right, I've just got in. I am so hungry. I'm going to get straight on and do my dinner. We've got 70 grams of cabbage. It's been eaten a little bit. I call that paying the nature tax down the allotment. Some bugs have eaten some of it, but it's all good. I've got 1 medium potato, which we're going to boil. I'm going to leave the skin on. Quarter that, boil that. And then we've got just over 100 grams of white fish, which we're going to bake. So baked white fish with potato and cabbage. First thing we're going to do is bake the fish. So I'll get the oven on. It says to bake it in a bit of margarine. So I know that margarine is a bit of a contentious issue. It's definitely something which is mentioned on the channel quite often. But during World War II, margarine played a crucial role in civilians' diets because of the rationing of butter. Butter was strictly rationed. Let's get on and do this while I'm nattering. Butter was strictly rationed in countries including the UK, USA, Canada, and Australia due to limited supplies, basically. Margarine became a common substitute. Margarine made for vegetable oils, which was soybean, cottonseed, or coconut, was cheaper and more accessible. It became a key alternative to butter, especially in poorer households and those on limited rations. And the government actively promoted margarine to ensure people had a fat source. In UK ministry food campaigns, they encouraged use of margarine in cooking and baking. Wartime margarine was fortified with vitamin A and D to prevent deficiencies. So most people became accustomed to using margarine, and that's accounted for its popularity in post-war time. Let's get this in the oven to bake. So butter was limited to 2 ounces per week per person, and then margarine was generally higher, about 4 ounces per week. A little fun fact, people used to take their butter allowance and mix a small amount of butter in with margarine to improve the taste. I thought that was quite cool. Well, I've got the potatoes on the boil, the fish baking, going to chuck the cabbage in, and that's going to be our dinner for day two. Let's serve up the fish. I left the potatoes in slightly too long because I grabbed a shower. So they've just started, the skins have come away a bit, but just going to add a little bit of salt and some pepper. And then that's day two's dinner. So we've got a piece of white fish cooked in a little bit of margarine with potatoes and some cabbage. And I'm so hungry, this looks like gourmet food. I can't wait to eat this. And then later on this evening, I'll be having a cup of tea. So I want to be careful. I don't want to be moaning about being hungry all the time, because this is a real situation which a lot of people went through for a long period of time. This challenge is more of a deeper appreciation of food. People went through during the war, how rationing affected things, and the kinds of food and volumes of food people ate back then, basically. So I'm not going to spend the whole week moaning about how hungry I am. I'm going to acknowledge it and try and get a better understanding of what it was like during the rationing era. I'm going to try some of this fish with the potato and cabbage. Really delicious. Really nice. I love a bit of white fish anyway. 9 times out of 10, it's got breadcrumbs on it. But this is really tasty. Just baked in the oven with a bit of margarine. I hope you're enjoying the facts I'm giving you. It's a bit different to my usual challenges and content. I just thought it'd be nice to intersperse some of the facts. It's a different concept, this video. I find it fascinating. I find World War II fascinating. My daughter finds it fascinating. We go to museums and stuff like that. I watch a lot of documentaries based around the war. In fact, Peyton is going away twice with the school. And she's going to Krakow. I think she's doing Auschwitz, Somme. She's got 2 trips coming up. So Belgium and then Poland. And she's really looking forward to it. Going to learn so much as well. It's something which is on my bucket list, which I've not managed to do, but I definitely like to experience that. So yeah, it's kind of one of them things where I just find it fascinating, and this is just giving me a bit more depth of knowledge and appreciation. I'm going to stop waffling on. I'm going to eat this, and I'll see you back in the morning for breakfast. Just doing a bit of late evening prep to get lunch ready for tomorrow, because I don't particularly want to be doing it at like 5:30 in the morning. So we're going to do some stewed rhubarb with dried fruit. So 75 grams of rhubarb in a small amount of water. 1 teaspoon of dried fruits,
So the sultanas. While we stew that down, we're going to have egg sandwich tomorrow. So mayonnaise would have been a luxury item requiring egg itself to make. So to our egg, we're just going to add the old good old mustard, small amount of mustard. We're just going to mash that egg up. And that will be our egg salad sandwich for tomorrow. Right, so I stewed down the rhubarb with the sultanas. I'm going to put it into this little glass jar. Rhubarb and sultanas. But that will be for tomorrow's lunch with our egg sandwich. And I'm assuming the sultanas is going to add the sweet sugariness to the rhubarb. Breakfast on day three is a piece of toast with a tiny splodge of jam. And a cup of tea. And a splash of milk. Just pulled over for my egg sandwich and my stewed rhubarb with sultanas. I've never had that before, so I'm just going to give it a quick try. I don't have my tripod, so I'll give it a taste test whilst juggling the camera. Right, let's give this a little try. Oh, that's delicious. Oh, that's really sweet. Got the sharpness of the rhubarb and the sweetness of the sultanas. Do you know what? I genuinely like that. That's an actual real treat. Have that for lunch. I'm really grateful for that today. I'm going to wolf this down, crack on with my job, and then get home. And then we're going to make a pie tonight. I've just got off of the premiere for the £2 a day challenge, and it's fast becoming one of my favourite things to do. It's just to have a chat in the live comments. Just so nice to talk to you all. Right, minced beef and veg pie, what we're having for tea tonight. A slice of this pie is going to be used as lunch tomorrow with a beetroot salad. We're using a quarter of an onion, just going to take the skin off. We've got one whole carrot, which we're gonna serve with it. And then we've got quarter of a carrot and quarter of a potato. So it says the dice these all up. And then we're going to use an allowance of minced beef. Just going to take a little bit of our fat. Just get that in the pan going. And then we're going to brown off the mince. And then we're just going to put these vegetables in, diced. Going to add the onions in first, just to caramelize them a little bit. Then we're going to add in the mince. And we've got the gravy granules to make the gravy, which is going to go into the pie. And we're going to chuck in the potatoes and the carrots. Add a little bit of salt. And some pepper, and then finally the gravy can go in. Then I'm going to slice the carrot, get the carrots on the go, and then we'll sort out the pastry. So this is a short crust pastry. I am aware that I'm cheating. The pie filling. Make a little vent in the top. We'll stick that in the oven till it's all golden and crispy. Right, so the carrots and the pie is done. I've got to remember that this pie is not just for today, it's for tomorrow as well. So we're gonna save a section for lunch. Going to go everywhere, isn't it? Oh, no, it didn't. We've got the minced beef pie with a carrot. I've got enough pie for lunch tomorrow, and that's going with this beetroot, which I'm just boiling at the moment for a beetroot salad. I've just got to wait till it's fork soft. I'm going to go on and enjoy my dinner, and then I will see you tomorrow morning for breakfast.
So I just got some toast in for breakfast this morning, and then we've got the, just making up the lunch, which is the leftover piece of pie. And then I boiled that beetroot last night. Said to add a little bit of vinegar to the beetroot. We're also going to have a cup of tea again this morning with some sugar and a splash of milk. So that's breakfast, a slice of toast with margarine and a cup of tea.
Just pulled over for my lunch, so I've got the leftover slice of pie, which I'm having cold. That's not an issue for me. And then the beetroot with a little bit of vinegar on it. So it was a beetroot, called a beetroot salad. It's just cooked beetroot with some vinegar. I'm looking forward to this. This is actually quite a substantial lunch this week. So I'm going to enjoy this. And then when I get home tonight, it's either going to be bangers and mash or a corned beef hash. I haven't decided which one I'm going to do yet.
Been back on to say quickly, this is definitely my favourite lunch of the week. I'm really enjoying this. It feels so much more filling. The beetroot, I just love beetroot. And that pie is really nice cold. So yeah, definitely the best one of the week so far.
Right, I'm running late today because there was an issue on the motorway. It took me an extra 45 minutes to get home. Tonight's dinner is going to be the sausage. So I'm just going for the easiest one, to be honest. It's going to be sausage with Swede mash. So half a Swede with two small sausages. You might hear a bit of noise in the background because I'm getting on to do the rest of the family's dinner as well. Just going to dice up this Swede, ready to boil. That's all going to go in the pan. We're going to boil that so it goes soft so we can make it into a mash. And then we're going to fry off some sausages. Got the potatoes softening in the pan. We've got one half of the onion diced ready to go, and that's what 25 grams of cheese looks like. That's what's going to be the filling for the pasty. Right, next we're going to make the pastry itself. This is going to be a real basic pastry, so we're going to go for 50 grams of wholemeal flour. So that's 50 grams of the wholemeal flour, and we're going to use 25 grams of the fat. 25 grams of the fat, we're gonna rub that into the flour, add a pinch of salt first, we're gonna add a bit of cold water to bind it. I'm gonna go easy on the water to start with because I don't want to put too much in. Right, so that's basically what our dough is going to look like with the fat, which took a while to work in. Even at room temperature, I still struggle to get the fat in there, but we just want to pat this out. It's quite sticky, so I've just got to be careful with it. I've got the onion diced already, and then I'm just going to cube the cheese. I'm feeling very rushed today. I normally have it nailed down. I'm normally quite relaxed when I'm doing everything. I know I'm busy. I've said it a few times on the channel. I'm working minimum 10 hours a day, and I'm still trying to put out this content, do videos every evening and edit on my lunch break. And I'm normally on it, but today I'm just, I don't know, I feel a bit harassed today. I'm sure I'm going to get over myself. Right, I think that's as flat as we're going to bake it. And we're going to add the contents. Try and fold it over. I think that's as good as we're going to get it. I'll put it on a bit of greaseproof paper and I'm going to stick that in the oven. Let's check on the Swede. Needs a little bit longer, but I'll get the sausages on while that's finishing off. And give it a mash. So we're going to serve up the Swede Gonna add a good old bit of pepper to that. I quite like sweet mash. Carrot and sweet mash is nice with a roast dinner. I've made up my gravy ready. And the two sausages. And then add the gravy on top. Two bangers and sweet mash. Today might seem a bit rushed. I'll be honest with you. I'm a bit harassed today. I know I've just said it, haven't I? But there's dinner. I've done lunch for tomorrow anyway. Hopefully traffic won't be bad getting home. And I won't have a million things to do. And I can share with you some more facts and information because I haven't done it for a couple of days. It's just a thing, isn't it, with YouTube and work. Sometimes it just gets on top of you. I'll be refreshed in the morning for breakfast and a bit more of a relaxed approach tomorrow. But for now, I'm going to enjoy my Swede mash. And there's a little shire behind me. Did you enjoy your dinner?
I did.
You had cod bites with waffles and peas, didn't you?
Some drink.
I'm gonna eat my sausage and mash. I've got Swede mash and sausage, World War II style.
Nice.
You try some Swede?
Mmm.
Try it.
Yeah.
Different to potato mash. Porridge this morning with water, so 50 grams of porridge. And we're gonna add another splash of milk. I really like this idea. I'm actually gonna use this in my day-to-day life because I prefer my water. I prefer my porridge with water in it anyway. And then this just gives it an extra creaminess without having so much milk. It's a brilliant tip I'm going to take along with me for everyday use. That's going to have a small amount of jam for sweetness. And then we've got the tea with another splash of milk. It really isn't an issue using the tea bag more than once. You still get a strong brew out of it. And it means I get to have a cup of tea in the evening. I know I've been a bit lapsed on showing that this week, but I always have a brew later on after dinner using the same tea bag. The one in the evening, I don't put sugar in due to being conscious of the sugar ration. That's breakfast. I'm looking forward to showing you how the pasty turned out last night. I thought I'd save that till lunchtime. And then we got that with some raw carrot sticks. I'll see you then. Right, for lunch I've got a carrot cut up into sticks, quite a big carrot to be fair, and I've got the pasty, which I held back showing you last night after I stuck it in the oven, but there's what it looks like. I think the lard does a lot to help crust it up. I'm going to open it up, we'll take a look, and I'm looking forward to trying it. And there we have the cheese and onion potato pasty. I'm going to give it a taste test. It smells just like a normal cheese and onion pasty, to be fair. Really tasty. Really good. I should have put a bit of salt and pepper in it. That's my fault. I was, like I said last night, I was a bit harassed for time and just, yeah, it was one of them days, wasn't it? But would have been even better with a bit of salt and pepper, but that is a really tasty pasty. The bread, the flour pastry, brilliant. Simple as well, wasn't it? So yeah, really happy with that. Tonight we're going to have corned beef hash with onions and turnip. We've got 70 grams of corned beef from the tin. Got one potato, one onion and one turnip. I'm going to chop and dice the turnip and the potato. I forgot to mention we're also having stewed fruit afterwards, but I'll deal with that after I've got the main dinner on the go. While I'm dicing this, I thought I'd give you some facts about the Dig for Victory. Dig for Victory launched in 1939. The British Ministry of Agriculture started the campaign shortly after the war broke out. The goal was to encourage people to grow their own food due to import shortages caused by the German U-boat attacks. Lord Woolton, Minister of Food, helped promote food self-sufficiency and rationing. And fun fact, he also lent his name to the Woolton pie, a meatless vegetable pie invented for rationing. And that's what we're going to have tomorrow. That'll be tomorrow's dinner. Lawns, flowers and beds and sports fields were turned into vegetable plots. Even parts of Hyde Park, the Tower of London Moat and Buckingham Palace Gardens were used to grow crops. urban and rural citizens, schools and even businesses participated, and posters and pamphlets and radio broadcasts gave instructions on composting, crop rotation and pest control. So it was a real world national effort. The most popular crops to be grown were potatoes, carrots, cabbage, turnips, onions. In 1943, over 1.4 million allotments were in use in Britain. Actually, I want to look up how many allotments are now in use in the UK. Dig for Victory became one of the most iconic slogans of World War II. I'm going to dice these really small, this turnip, because I'm assuming it's going to cook. I don't really use turnip in everyday life. I'm going to try it today, and if I like it, which I'm sure I will, because I'm a big fan of Swedes and parsnips, it will become a staple down the allotment. It's got a really strong Swede smell to it, if that makes sense. Dig for Victory actually became a symbol of resilience. Our friends over in the US, they had a similar campaign going, and theirs was Victory Gardens, which was promoted by the US government. Americans grew food in their backyards, school parks, and even on rooftops. Canada also followed the line of Victory Gardens, inspired by the British and US efforts. Their citizens were urged to plant gardens in schools, homes, and community spaces, and also supported by campaigns with posters and on the radio. Australian ran the Grow Your Own and the Dig for Victory style efforts. New Zealand also promoted home gardening to supplement rationing. So it wasn't just the UK, it wasn't just America. It was pretty much a worldwide effort at this point due to the limited supplies. Right, enough waffling. Let's get the potato and the turnip into the same pan to boil. I'm going to add some salt. While we boil that for 10 to 15 minutes until soft, just going to get an onion prepared. So we only need to use, we're only going to use a quarter of this onion. Gently fry the chopped onion in fat over low heat until golden for about 5 to 7 minutes. Just let that heat up first. I'm just going to dice it just to make life easier. And then once the potato and the turnips have softened, we're going to add them to the onion and then chuck in the corned beef. Turn that down because it's actually a bit too hot. There was a few chats in the comment section about this week, and one of a few of them have been advising me to try and go out and forage, because foraging was something they used to do to supplement their rations and the ingredients they had available. I did mention that this week's been a bit hectic, so I'm struggling to get out and about with work and everything. But I did notice the other day, so we're going to go and have a look up here. This is quite unusual for this time of year. I'm climbing on the trampoline. But there are some ripe blackberries. If I can get a few of them. Not technically foraging, because they're from the back garden over the fence. I don't know if there's many more. Have a look over the other side. Sorry, Storm. Just getting on the trampoline. Maybe one more there. Oh. Got a few. Annoyed the cat here. Some gooseberries, some blackberries, and a little bit of rhubarb, which we can go on and do after dinner. As a result, getting a few blackberries. I mean, it's very early in the season for blackberries, but I spied them the other day, and when I was having that chat about trying to forage and stuff, I figured that's, I mean, at a minimum, I could just go out and grab some of them and discuss it. Most foraged foods in World War II Britain were nettles, used like spinach in soups, stews and teas, high in iron and vitamins, commonly used in nettle soup. Mushrooms, that's something I don't trust myself with. I'll end up dead if I try and do mushroom foraging, especially filled mushrooms and puffballs. Foraging guides were distributed to help avoid poisonous varieties, often fried and added to potato dishes. Just going to add, while we're talking about that, I'm just going to add in the boiled turnip and potato and the chunks of corned beef. Add some pepper and a bit more salt. And we're going to cook this now until it starts to go a bit golden. Rose hips, extremely rich in vitamin C, more than oranges in fact. And oranges were a exotic item during World War II. You couldn't get hold of bananas, oranges, limes. Used to make rose hip syrup, promoted by the Ministry of Food to prevent scurvy. So that was an important foraged item. Crab apples and wild apples, used for jellies, chutneys and baking. Not always sweet, but useful for preserves and stews. So like that would be the crab apples. They tend to be a bit more bitter. Chestnuts and hazelnuts. So that would have been a seasonal availability in the autumn. Eaten raw or roasted, added to stuffing or used as a protein-rich snack. Blackberries, which we just grabbed them. Very popular and abundant, used in pies, jams, crumbles and wines. School children were encouraged to collect them in large quantities. It's actually something me and the kids still do to this day. When there's a field very close to us, I'll share a video when we do it, but there's enough blackberries for everyone and the birds. There's that many bushes. I'll definitely share that with you guys. But yeah, we get loads. I freeze them, I preserve them, I make jams, I do loads of them. Elderberries and elderflowers. The berries were used in jams, wines and cordials. Dandelion leaves and roots, leaves eaten raw or cooked like spinach. The roots were roasted and used as a coffee substitute. That's a video in itself, isn't it? I actually have plans. I've just turned that off. I was wondering why it's not sizzling. Oh, numpty. Oh, distracted myself then. So dandelions is... there are so many uses, including medicinal uses from dandelion. That's going to be a video on the channel at some point. That's sizzling now because I've actually got it on. Sloes and rowan berries. Sloes used for jams to make homemade sloe gin. Rowan berries sometimes used in jelly or wine. Foraging became both practical and patriotic. The government issued pamphlets and BBC programmes with guidance. Waste not, want not, and make do and mend was also applied to wild foods. Caution was advised, some poisonous plants resembled edible ones. There's a channel, and I'm sure most of you will know Atomic Shrimp, Mike at Atomic Shrimp, who is a bit of an idol of mine. He is fantastic with foraging wild edibles. I just think he's incredible, and he's a big part of the reason why I even decided to start a YouTube channel. But he is the one when it comes to foraging and wild food. I'm sure he would make this challenge 10 times better than I have. Enough waffling on. I'm going to finish frying this off. I'm going to serve it up and then I will get back to you when we start doing the stewed fruit. So it's crisped up a little bit on the edges. And I'm going to afford myself a little bit of ketchup. So ketchup was available during World War II. In the United States, ketchup was widely available. Many processed foods, it was subject to the rationing and supply chain issues. But major brands like Heinz were already established before the war. Sugar rationing affected ketchup production since ketchup contained sugar and some of the recipes were changed to reduce the sweetness. In the UK, tomato ketchup was much less common during World War II due to rationing and limited imports. And then tomatoes were seasonal. And canned and processed tomato products were not a staple due to the resource priorities. British households often relied on homemade sauces and chutneys using what was locally grown and available. Right, let's give that a taste test. So, as you can see, I'm a hot, sweaty mess. It's 32 degrees today, which is unusual for the UK anyway, and I am not built for the heat. So I'm going to eat this and then go chill out for a bit before I come back and do the stewed vegetables. That is the heat getting to me. Stewed fruit. I'm looking forward to that though. Right, here we go. That's delicious. Really tasty. Another good meal from this week. Only using a small amount of corned beef, one potato, a quarter of an onion, and a turnip. And yeah, turnip's amazing. This is so tasty. The turnip adds extra to it than just the potato. I'm a big fan of this. Right, so we have our stewed fruit we're going to be making next. I've got some of the gooseberries. These are from the allotment. These are actually frozen down, so a little bit squidgy. The rhubarb and some of the forage blackberries. We're just going to put them in a pan with a teaspoon of sugar. Chuck these all in to the pan. Add a small amount of water so they don't stick to the bottom, and then the sugar. I'm glad I got the blackberries because they've already started to soften down and give us a nice blackberry liquid. I keep going until everything's softened and some of the water's cooked off. I'm really happy that I got hold of those blackberries because they've given us a nice dark red colour, and blackberries are one of my favourite berries. Do you know what? I might have this hot because it reminds me a bit of a crumble. What was I make? I make a rhubarb. Jeez. I genuinely think the hotter it gets, the worse I get with talking. Jeez Louise. Reminds me a lot of the blackberry rhubarb crumble I make, so I'm going to try it hot. Oh, it's really tasty. Those three combined fruits are delicious with the little sweetness from the sugar. The gooseberries, the raspberries are both tart fruits anyway when it comes to flavour, a little bit on the sour side. And then you've got the sweet blackberry. That's delicious. I'm going to finish that off in a minute. Because I did just burn my mouth, if I'm being honest with you. Right. Next, I'm going to have to make the soup up for tomorrow. Otherwise, I won't be having any lunch. So we're going to put some stock in the pan. This one's a vegetable stock. And then to that, we're going to add 20 to 25 grams of barley. Pearl barley, this is. And you don't have to soak it, you just have to rinse it. So we've got the pearl barley. We've got a potato. Straight in the pan. Another quarter of an onion recipe, this one. This is like a one pot jobby. But it's all going to go in the pan. Which I quite like, to be honest. Because I can go and watch a bit of telly and chill out. And one carrot. So just add the carrot, chopped up. I'm going to add some white pepper. But hold off on the salt until after I've tasted it. Let that simmer and cook until the pearl barley, the potatoes, everything's gone soft. In the meantime, I can enjoy this.
My breakfast today is another day of toast with a thin spread of margarine and a cup of tea. And I've reheated the soup with barley. That's lunch.
I've just pulled over for my lunch, which is the soup, which I've had in the thermos after I heated it up. I poured out most of the liquid into the thing. I'm just going to eat this. Oh, I don't know if you can see that very well. I'm going to eat this with a spoon. I'm going to give it a little taste test, though. Really tasty. Might have overdone it with the pepper a bit. It's got a really spicy kick to it. But that would definitely keep me going till later on this evening. Last meal of the challenge. And then I'm going to have a couple of days off to enjoy some meals with the family before I start on my next challenge, which was a subscriber idea, which I really, really like the sound of. And that is to do a whole week. And the only thing I can use to prepare the meals to cook with is a kettle. Immediately that in my head sounded like a real challenge. And their idea is on the basis of there's a lot of people who are in B&Bs, temporary accommodation, or just don't have access to cookers, microwaves and stuff like that. But I'll talk more about that in the challenge when I start it. Take the Walton pie, which is what we're having tonight. It's got a mashed potato top to it. So I'm just going to boil a potato. I've got a quarter of a parsnip, a chunk of swede, a quarter of an onion, and a quarter of a carrot. Dice all this up and get the potato boiling. One of the biggest takeaways I've gained from doing this week on a World War II diet is how much processed food that we consume, because this is all basic, more natural ingredients. I'm definitely guilty of eating big portion size. I mean, let's face it, and I'm totally honest, and you know, my feelings don't get hurt when people point it out. I do eat big portions. I am overweight. I'm a big guy. I can't blame it on being big boned. I can't, you know, I have to face the fact that my portion sizes are too big and I have a tendency to be greedy. I started this week off probably about day three. All the way up to day three, I was seriously hungry. Got past day three, and then I was waking up and I wasn't, you know, I didn't feel incredibly hungry. I found this food was sufficient for my needs. A question that gets asked quite often on the channel after challenges is, did you lose weight? Now, I'm blasting through challenges. I'm having a lot of fun doing it, but I'm also doing a lot of them. I have been keeping an eye on my weight. And the combination of the ChatGPT week after that, where I did the £2 a day budget, actually is my favourite week of budget challenges so far. And then this week, I've lost 0.5 stone. Now, I'm still big, you know what I mean? It might not even be noticeable in the camera, but Vicky said she's noticed it. I feel the benefits of it. It's not going to become a dieting channel, but it's definitely something which has benefited me from starting this journey into cooking more, trying different foods, expanding my abilities like baking and stuff like that. Out the benefits of it, and it's something I'm going to continue. So in the challenges going forwards, you're going to see smaller portion sizes. And I'm not losing weight because I'm not eating enough. But this is what I'm trying to get to. I'm not going to be losing weight in the future because I'm not eating enough. I'm going to be losing weight in the future because I'm going to be dropping down to a healthier weight because I'm eating enough food. I hope that makes sense. I have been cooking myself in the sun all week at work, but I do think that makes sense. I think that was the takeaway I've gained from this week, is that I eat too much. This has really taught me that I can eat more natural foods, better foods. I'm waffling on again, ain't I? The takeaways are that in World War II, it was a real time of shortage. The food was a lot more basic. The cooking, the quantities, the portion sizes, people had to make do and get by on what they could. There was more of an emphasis on self-sufficiency, growing your own, foraging, and being a bit more self-sufficient, and probably a bit more community around that as well. I've learned a lot from this week. I've taken away a lot of information. I've learned a lot about myself. I found this to be a really good challenge for me. A bit more conscious of what I'm putting in my mouth. All of this vegetable is just going to go straight in the pan with some water. And we're going to cook that down with some salt. Pinch of salt. Herb-wise, we're going to do thyme and parsley. And we're going to boil that down until the vegetables... missing an ingredient, an important ingredient. Mashed potatoes done. And let's turn that off. And this is cooked down so it's thickened. We're just going to add that to the dish. Remember to add those oats because they're an integral part of this pie. That's what it looks like. It smells really tasty actually, with the parsley and the thyme seasoning. It's a new way for me to use oats. I'm always learning different things and techniques and stuff. Oh, don't want to lose a potato because there's not a lot of it. It's it's a new way of using oats to thicken a sauce. In this case, for a pie. That's what it looks like. I'm going to stick that in the oven and let it go crisp till it goes golden on top. Last meal of the week. And this is what the wooden pie looks like. going to blow it, let it cool down a second, and then we'll give it a taste. Right, let's give it a little try. Nice pie. Genuinely tasty. Lovely way to end this video. I found this week really interesting. Different from the normal challenges I do. I want to add a bit more variety into the different types of challenges I'm doing on the channel. Still going to do the limited budget challenges, but lots of ideas coming through from the community. Lots of great ideas, lots of weeks worth of challenges for me to get on and do. I'm learning a lot, I'm experiencing a lot, and I'm just having a good time with it. And I think that's what this channel is all about. Also the community. I just wanted to take a second at the end of this video to say this community, I couldn't ask for a better community on this channel. You're all very positive. You're all looking out for each other. There's been some support to certain people in the comments section, which just warms my heart. I just think in a world of negativity, and there's a lot of doom and gloom on YouTube, there's a lot of doom and gloom just in general in the news. I think if we can build this community around learning, helping others, and just trying to be a bit more self-sufficient, learning to cook. I'm not the world's greatest cook. I'm by no means that great at cooking. I just like to get involved and I like to have a go. Stop waffling at the end of the video. I've done a lot of waffling this week and I've made a lot of mistakes with the things I'm saying. It's just the heat. Look at me, I'm sweating. I am a cold weather guy. I'm off shopping with Vicky. I just want to say thank you so much for watching. If you found this useful, if you like my challenges, there's ways you can support me for absolutely nothing. You can jump on, you can subscribe, you can hit notifications, you can jump in the comment section. Everything helps the channel grow, puts it out to more people, builds a bigger community. And that's it, really. I mean, I do have memberships, I do have Buy Me a Coffee and stuff like that, but I'm not in it for that. If you want to do that to support the channel, then that's up to you. But just having you guys here, your guys' input, chatting to you in the community, that's enough for me. Thank you so much, and I'll hopefully see you in the next video. Bye-bye.